Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Savior, Lord, please be gracious to us this evening as we open up your word, your inspired text, Lord, your revealed word to us, Lord, as we search out the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ, Lord, that we would know you better, that we would be able to worship you more, that our love for you would grow. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. I want to talk to you from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And the last time I think I spoke, I was talking about the verse right above this, so I've read more than just one verse since then. Let's back up and start in verse 8, a very familiar scripture. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In our verse, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So I want to talk to you about the workmanship of Christ. But before that, recently in the news, you may have seen that Elon Musk, who is the CEO of SpaceX, you know him better as the CEO of Tesla, which are the electric cars you see on the road. They recently launched the Falcon Heavy into space. It was a big deal because they were showing that you can carry an immense amount of load of payload into space with the traditional boosters, and it was pretty fascinating. If you haven't seen it, the huge rockets that lift the shuttle into space typically break off and fall into the ocean. These broke off, and then, like, you know, they're on the side of the ship, and they broke off, and then they piloted themselves back down in unison and landed like this. It was just like, it was unbelievable. So it was really cool, and I was watching it, and in this interview, this little 10-minute documentary, this lady, and on the interview pops up Bill Nye, the science guy. And Bill Nye was pretty jazzed about this accomplishment. And he mentioned that the reason this is very, very important is because there's two very fundamental questions that we have to ask. Where do we come from, and is there anyone else out there? Now, Bill Nye is smart enough to know that there is a sort of merit to this incredible world we have, worth seeking out and finding some sort of explanation for, at least. And his answer was, in order to find the answers to these things, we have to explore space. So he was pretty excited because we got another rocket, like, just off of planet Earth, basically. He believes that in order to find our identity, in order to discover what our purpose is, in order to understand our meaning, we have to look up and search out the vast extenses of darkness and nothing. And he's hoping that there are some sort of answers in there that will tell him and give him direction and a compass in life. Brothers and sisters, we know through faith, it says in Hebrews, that the world was framed by God. And we believe that we are creatures created from the spoken word of our God, that God had, before the foundation of the world, when there was nothing but himself, of his own self spoke and created matter and material things. And these weren't just things to admire and put on a shelf and observe. This is creation and design with purpose. And we're already way ahead of the scientific community now. And so if we look back into Genesis 3, well, before I get to Genesis 3, God created man as the highest piece of his creation, made in his own image. And he made us with this freedom to choose and desire a will that can reach after things within the confines of our nature. So Brother Zach has talked about the line of the Cheerios. It's the same idea. And so we know in the beginning, Adam made a bad decision. And essentially, Adam chose his own desires over his creator's instructions, essentially. And in Genesis 3, we see what we commonly refer to as the fall of man. Listen, y'all, the story of the Bible, the epic of Christ, is a story that people like Bill Nye and great minds in the world, this is unbelievable. It's awesome and it's huge and it's exciting. And it's no coincidence that we love big, exciting stories that come out of novels and movies and things like that. And it's not we love the story in the Bible because we love these epics. It's the other way around. There's something in us that loves this epic tale we're in. So God creates man, and man sins against God. And so it says in the Bible that sin entered into the world. And then maybe it's because of that phraseology that I think sometimes we maybe misunderstand what sin is. It's a big deal, but let me just... You've often heard this question asked, why did God allow sin to come into the world? I think we need to be careful about how we think about sin. Sin isn't an entity, a big ghostly, dark thing, like second to Satan or, you know, entity of itself that God let slip through the doors somehow. Sin is an archery term that means missing the mark. Sin is... disobedience and things that do not fall short, that things that fall short of God, or things that we do that He has told us not to do. So, for example, in a conversation with someone, when that came up, we find ourselves trying to answer difficult questions because they may be phrased poorly in the first place. So, my point is, so Adam sinned against God, and God cursed the earth and man. And we read in Genesis 3, it kind of starts in verse 8, but let's go down to the end and say verse 23. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden to till the ground from whence he was taken. There's something there. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. God cast out Adam from his presence. Adam was banned from the place where God walked and dwelt. And so we see after man sins and falls, there's this divide between... well, really, it's an emphasizing the holiness of God. Holiness is the set apart ness of God, if you will. And so there's this huge difference between this fallen, dead man and this holy God. In Isaiah, let's see, Isaiah says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. In fact, farther down in Ephesians 2, just past our scripture, let's see, in 12, at that, from our verse 10 and 11, wherefore remember that ye being in the time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So we are created for a purpose. And our representative in Adam, and he's a good representative, by the way, if you've looked in your own life and you think that you could do this better, I think you'll find yourself in the same place that Adam was, falling short. So we fall from God, and there's this divide between this holy God and this man that is now cursed under the curse of sin. But I think what Paul is talking about and understanding the context of Ephesians 2, which starts in "You hath he quickened," it's about regeneration, the Holy Spirit. There's another creation that is yet to happen. So we know that the worlds were framed by Jesus through his Son and through God's Son, Jesus. And it's amazing to think about, y'all, that Jesus is the great framer of things. Look up every time the word "framed" is used in the Bible. John's a framer. Framing is like building up the bones of a house, you know, the studs and the woods. God is a great framer, and then God, when he comes, when he becomes a man and comes to earth, his occupation is a carpenter. He's even a framer in his humanly trade. And I'm not sure what there's some, you know, he'll tell us about that later in heaven, maybe why that happened. But God is not done crafting and creating yet. The verse here, "For we are his workmanship," the word "workmanship" here is only used one other time in the Bible, and it's in Romans 1:20. And it's referring to his physical creation. So Paul is linking the two in a way, but here he's specifically referring to the creation that is wrought in God's people in regeneration and the new birth. It says in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." This is more than just a little heart tweak. This is a new heart. We said earlier about the will of man maybe being defined by his nature, maybe being fences. This isn't just a shifting of the fences. This is a new pasture that we graze in. God's new creation here is a creature that desires him and that seeks after him, unlike the old dead man. There's a duality there that I don't want to get into, and that's something, like Brother Zach has said many times, that we'll continue to struggle with. But this new creation has a purpose. "For we are his workmanship." Now think about this for a second. There's a lot of very smart people who have no idea why they're here or where they came from. And really, they're only, let's see, if you don't take a created world, I'm going to wrap this up here. If you don't take a creation worldview, you know, you believe that we're here by random chance and time acting on matter, and that your moral compass is kind of summed up like the longevity of my life and things I do in this life to help maybe the future lives live, you know, so we don't want to expend our planet's resources or things like that. But it's difficult to come up with a reason or a purpose in that worldview. But see, we are created in Jesus Christ, and it says unto. Again, that just went right over the top of like Bill Nye's head. Now there's purpose in this creation. We're created unto something. We're created unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I think we overcomplicate this. I really do. We know that works do not save us. He says that just before, that we're saved through faith, and that's a gift of God, not of ourselves. I want to approach this last piece, "created unto good works," from a perspective of encouragement. Let me read to you from McLaren's Exposition. Y'all know who that is? Okay. This is, you know, Blue Letter Bible is a pretty great tool, and I've downloaded like all the commentaries on this one verse, and you get a little pamphlet that you can just kind of go through. Let me read this to you. created unto good works, which God hath before prepared. So before ordained, let's not misunderstand this, that God hath before ordained, that means that God hath prepared beforehand. So McLaren says, that is to say, the true way to look at life is to regard it as the exercising ground which God has prepared for the development of the life that through Christ He has implanted in us. He cuts the channels that the stream may flow. Let me kind of put that in my own words. We know that we are known by our fruits, so we are to kind of look at our works as an indication. But if you focus on, you can focus from your works up to your salvation, and that's what you don't need to do. You need to think about who you are in Christ, and think about every circumstance that we come into, every trial that we come into, and think of that as an opportunity to serve and obey God. And your output will be good works. And it's going to look completely different. Jamie was, she was reading in Job. This is the quintessential example of of God being good to someone in some of the most bizarre ways. And so, I don't want to get off on that. So, you are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Your life is hid in Christ, and it's not your own. And this means that your shortcomings, your failures as a finite person, your identity in maybe your job or not your job or your education is not how you define yourself. The things that your life is created and hid in Jesus Christ, in this new man. And it's for a purpose. So God, and take comfort in knowing that the good works that you are called to, God is crafting the way for those to take place. I guess that's what I want to say from the side of encouragement is it may not appear like your life is producing all this abundant fruit. And you don't need to measure this by maybe what other people's output is looking like. We need to serve and obey God in every circumstance and situation that we come through. And take comfort is that we are crafted and created by the great carpenter unto his ultimate purpose, praise and glory of Jesus Christ.